Welcome to room 4216. I'm so glad you've come.
I saw raindrops on my window. Joy is like the rain. Laughter runs across my pane, goes away and comes again. Joy is like the rain.
Hi, Pastor Dave.
Hi, Cecilia.
That's one of my favorite songs.
Is it? Yeah, I like it too. We're going to be talking about water and rain and such today in the podcast. And I was thinking, water, what songs? And that's what came to my mind.
Mm-hmm.
I saw clouds upon a mountain. Joy is like a cloud.
Sometimes silver, sometimes gray.
Sun not always far away. Joy is like a cloud.
But rain and clouds aren't like joy. They're not fun. They're gloomy. They're depressing, especially if you walk in them.
Well, I would agree with you there, but that's not what the song's trying to say. It's trying to say when there's rain and clouds, those aren't fun necessarily, but just like water on the first verse, laughter comes and goes again, like water on the pane comes and goes again. Like clouds, sun's not far away. Do you know verse 3 of the song?
Yes.
Please sing it.
I saw Christ in wind and thunder. Joy is tried by storm. Christ asleep within my boat, whipped by winds yet still afloat. Joy is tried by storm.
Especially when we know God, we know that He's with us, even during the storms. And that's why we have hope that the storm will be over, just like a rain and the clouds will be gone, and there'll be sunshine and great joy again. That's why we have joy, because God is with us. We're going to be talking about that and the children of Israel in the desert as they struggled through some hardships related to water. So let's go ahead and go into room 4216. Just to review where we've been, the Israelites were brought out of Egypt, out of bondage and slavery with the mighty hand of God through the waters of the Red Sea. They celebrated in chapter 15, a dance and a celebration. But then they were thirsty, and the water that they were by was bitter. But God did a miracle, and through Moses made the water sweet. Chapter 16, we see from last week, last episode, that God fed them with manna and quail from heaven. Today we start with Exodus chapter 17, verses 1 through 7.
The whole Israelite community set out from the desert of Sin, traveling from place to place as the Lord commanded. They camped at Rephidim, but there was no water for the people to drink. So they quarreled with Moses and said, "Give us to drink." Moses replied, "Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you put the Lord to the test?" But the people were thirsty for water there, and they grumbled against Moses. They said, "Why did you bring us up out of Egypt to make us and our children and our livestock die out of thirst?" Then Moses cried out to the Lord, "What am I to do with these people? They're almost ready to stone me." The Lord answered Moses,
"Walk on ahead of the people. Take with you some of the elders of Israel and take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile and go. I will stand there before you by the rock of Horeb. Strike the rock and water will come out of it for the people to drink."
So Moses did this in the sight of the elders of Israel. And he called the place Massa and Meribah because the people quarreled and put the Lord to the test, saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" So we've got the Israelites traveling, but they're mad because they don't have food. Then God sends so many birds into the camp, and their birds are practically saying, eat me. Not only that, but he sends bread raining down from heaven.
Now, technically, it was dew already on the ground that became bread.
Well, yeah, but there are some places that in the Bible that say that it rained bread. So, the bread appeared.
Well, God did give it, and God's in heaven, so I suppose it's okay. God rained it from heaven. Okay.
And then they travel some more, and now they're mad. Guess I can't blame them, because they don't have any water. Not only do they not have water, but their livestock don't have water. And so they grumble against Moses. And Moses is going, Lord, they're almost ready to kill me. So what can you tell us from a pastor's point of view? What's going on here?
Yeah, the people are fickle. And are we any different, really, in a way? We have things go along fine, and then all of a sudden, Lord. I mean, how many times has he rescued us from illnesses? And then right now, as we're recording this, the COVID virus is going like crazy, and we go, Lord, why are you sending this? And we can get all tightened and such. Or personally, me, I have cold feet. It's around zero as we're recording this, and the cold is creeping in from the walls, and my feet are going brrr, and I'm trying really hard not to grumble and complain, but I sure want to.
Yeah, I'll be complaining later because I've got the heat turned up.
I think it's because we want to be God, and we want everything perfect. We don't want cold feet. We always want water. And we're God, so it should be the way we want it. And when it's not, we grumble and complain because, oh, who has disrupted our world? Again, it goes back to that sin of who's really God. And that's where why it says they tested God rather than trusting God. What would it look like, Cecilia, if they truly did trust God for water? What would they have done instead of grumble?
Well, they might have prayed for water.
Yeah. Lord, we're thirsty. Please provide. And then they'd be patient and God would provide. Yeah. Because they even complained that God, what, have you taken us out here in the desert to kill us? Like, what, God's that mean and masochistic that he's going to not kill him in Egypt but bring him out to the desert to really make him roast? No. God loves them. And they just were having to learn to trust. It's something that we all face. And I think this is why the New Testament uses this picture and imagery of the rock and water flowing, and that is related to Jesus. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, it actually says Jesus is the rock, the spiritual rock, and from him comes the spiritual water from which we are nourished.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus said on one of the festival days, if anyone thirsty, come to me, and I will give him water to drink, living water. And that meaning the Spirit, or and on it goes with Bible verses that if we just turn to him, he will provide.
What is it about this staff? I mean, first we have the staff being thrown on the ground in front of Pharaoh and his magicians.
It became a snake.
Uh-huh. And then the staff strikes the Nile.
Became blood.
Mm-hmm. And then the staff parts the Red Sea.
Hmm.
And now we have Moses striking the rock with the staff.
It that is like interesting.
The staff is magical.
Mm-hmm. You know, it is a good point to raise. Why didn't God just say the words? I mean, that's what God did in creation. Let there be, and there was the first day. Let there be, and there was the second, third, and fourth day.
Or why did Moses have to say anything? Why didn't the Israelite elders and Moses come up to the rock, and it's a totally dry rock, and all of a sudden, splash, there's water?
I think there's a couple things here. One is, even as noted with creation, God said the word, let there be. He didn't use anything other than his word. Humans, we're not powerful in and of ourselves. We can't just say the word, rock, pour out water. We don't have that power. But God works through us to do things. And so I think here too, God worked through the staff so that people would realize it isn't Moses, and they'd quickly learn it ain't the staff either. And isn't that really what our whole Christian story is about? God could have just said in heaven, "Ah, I forgive you." But what do? Instead, we look to the cross and believe that on the cross, Jesus died for our sins. It's an action. And so that there's something that we look to and focus our belief and understanding of God. So I think that's why the staff, it's a means or a way that God works through. And I know as Lutherans, we believe the same is true about bread and wine and water, that God works through the waters of baptism to say to a child, you're my child, or through communion with bread and wine, he gives us body and blood to say, you are forgiven.
Mm-hmm. Well, one last thing before we move on.
Mm-hmm.
Moses named the place where the rock was Massa and Meribah, two names. What do these names mean?
It actually said right there in the text afterwards, it named it because they quarreled and they tested. So depending on how you want to translate it, Massa means to test or to tempt, and the other one means to quarrel or complain or argue against.
Pastor Dave, guess what? Guess what? Guess what?
What? What? What? What? What?
We have letters.
Ah.
From the inbox.
We actually have two. The first one is from our listener, Connie.
Hi, Connie.
This was in reference to how much is of our bodies are water. Connie wrote, I heard our bodies are 80% water. That's all she wrote. And that's, I thought that too, 80% or a little bit more, actually. Let's go to our second letter. This one is from Kara.
Hi, Kara.
Kara writes, Dear Pastor Dave and Cecilia, it's so much easier to do research these days than when I was in grade school and high school. I looked it up on Google and learned up to 60% of the body is made up of water.
Is that all?
That's what she wrote. Yeah. And she goes on, according to the site www.usgs.gov, the brain and heart are made up of 73% water.
Mm-hmm.
The lungs are made up of 83%. The skin is made up of 64%. The kidneys are made up of 79%. And would you believe it? The bones contain 31% of water. No wonder we get thirsty.
Bones?
Yeah.
Wow.
She goes on. Now I have a question. If the Israelites received free bread and free quail every day, or at least 6 days out of seven, why don't we who are Christians receive free food? It said that everyone had exactly what they needed. Some of us have way more than we need, while others of us can barely get by. And we do so only with the help of others, such as food pantries. Besides that, if the Israelites had exactly what they needed, no more, no less, then did they struggle with weight problems as many of us do, especially those of us who are blind? We may not be wandering around in a physical desert, but many of us are wandering around in an emotional desert because of food addictions. We are God's people too, so what help does he give us? In his peace, Kara. Interesting letter. I didn't know about these percentages. It's fascinating.
Me too.
It makes sense.
The bones especially.
Yeah. I wouldn't have thought that much water in the bones. The lungs didn't surprise me.
They didn't.
The kidneys didn't surprise me too because it deals with so much water. But 60%. Interesting.
That's. I really thought it would be more.
Huh.
But what about this other question?
The question about having enough food and
why aren't we fed the same way the Israelites were? And did the Israelites have weight problems? That one really got my attention.
I don't think the Israelites would have had weight problems. They were in an agricultural community, after all.
And in an agricultural community, you work hard day and night.
Yeah.
So you work off the energy that you gain with your food.
Yep.
Hmm.
As to addiction to food, really, addiction to anything, whether it be food, or some people struggle with sex, some with alcohol, some with drugs, some with power, by the way. All these addictions, they actually end up controlling us. And the only way to break those addictions is with the help both of God and people.
So
we can't do it alone.
She is saying here, her last question is, what kind of help does God give us?
Well, certainly God gives in the natural world things like AA, and there's another one also for drug use, Anonymous.
There's food use too.
Is there? Okay. Well, these are all basic things. And basically what they're if you look at the AA, the 12 points, there speaks about how we don't have control. It has control over us and that we need help from a higher power. It was written by a Christian, by the way. He just made it rather generic to help people who weren't necessarily Christian. We who are Christians can look at this and use this as God is the one who will help us. But we do need help from brothers and sisters as well. There's no way we can free ourselves from these bondages of addictions. Well, let's get back into Exodus chapter 17 and see what happens next. We continue at verse 8.
The Amalekites came and attacked the Israelites at Rephidim. Moses said to Joshua, "Choose some of our men and go out to fight the Amalekites. Tomorrow I will stand on top of the hill with the staff of God in my hands." So Joshua fought the Amalekites as Moses had ordered. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went to the top of the hill. As long as Moses held up his hands, the Israelites were winning. But whenever Moses lowered his hands, the Amalekites were winning. When Moses' hands grew tired, they took a stone and he sat on it. Aaron and Hur held his hands up, one on one side and one on the other, so that his hands remained steady until sunset. So Joshua overcame the Amalekite army with the sword. Then the Lord said to Moses,
"Write this on a scroll as something to be remembered, and make sure that Joshua hears it, because I will completely blot out the memory of Amalek from under heaven."
Moses built an altar and called it, "The Lord is my banner." He said, "For hands were lifted up to the throne of the Lord. The Lord will be at war against the Amalekites from generation to generation." Pastor, give me a refresher course. Who are the Amalekites?
The Amalekites are descendants of Esau. Remember Esau and Jacob.
The two twins that fought.
Right.
And Jacob had to run away. And Esau, but they returned as friends.
They did. But there was always enmity between the two. And God's favor was on Jacob. And so the Amalekites always resented, not even Esau at first, but all of them resented the Israelites. Did you notice it said even the Amalekites came upon them? They descended from the mountains to attack the back end, and they were just lopping off the stragglers of the Israelites. The Israelites didn't provoke them. They didn't go through their land. And so this was an unprovoked attack. That's another thing that made God all upset. It just shows that enmity that the descendants of Esau had against the descendants of Jacob.
All right. And the second question I have is this. Moses and Aaron and Hur went to the top of this hill, and Moses held up his hands.
Mm-hmm.
Well, as long as Moses held up his hands, the Israelites were winning.
Mm-hmm.
But when Moses lowered his hands, they were losing. What is that all about?
Lifting up the hands is a general way of saying praying to God. This was Moses praying to the Lord and asking for his intercession to help the battle. And so if his hands went down, that meant basically, well, not only did his hands go down, but his prayers went down.
Mm.
And good connection for us to remember. Our leaders pray, but who came alongside him?
Well, his brothers.
His brothers, yeah, to help support him. Good thing for us to keep in mind, too. We as brothers and sisters should come alongside our leaders, our pastors, and be praying for them. Because they shouldn't be standing alone, because they can get fatigued. And we have here a lesson that is something we can and should do. If you're ever wondering, what good am I? What use am I in the world? And I'm blind and I don't have anything to do. Just look at Aaron and Hur, who held up the prophet's hands. They were praying for their pastor, praying for their leaders. That is something all of us can and should do.
Water, water everywhere, and not a drop to drink.
The sailor's motto on a bad day.
Mm-hmm.
We do have a lot of bad days, and sometimes it seems like there's no help anywhere. And even like that song started, rain and clouds don't seem very good, yet joy can be found in them.
Because Christ is with us.
Yeah.
He brings us joy.
He brings us joy. We'd love to hear from you, either about your struggles, your teardrops.
Or your joys.
Or your joys. You can write us at
info.
I-N-F-O.
At not-alone.net.
And remember,
we are not alone.
Do come back again to room 4216.
Credits. Interlude musicians Robert Vaughn and Terry Nord, and I Am Trusting Thee, Lord Jesus, from the Lutheran Service Book, hymn number 729, and found on the Carl Schneider channel on YouTube.